Can I go? Yeah. Okay, I think we're ready to go. Good morning, everyone. How's the hangovers? Not too bad. They should have subsided to about a Richter scale level 6 or 5. Should we be all right? Fortunately, I didn't go because I had to do this. My name is Keith Patton. I'm the CEO of a company called Marker Metro, and we are an app agency. Based over in Ponsonby. All we do is Windows Phone and Windows apps, which may seem a little bit odd. It does seem a little bit odd to us, the fact that we're doing that when Windows 8 hasn't even been released yet. But we're thankful and lucky enough to be able to be working with all these latest technologies. And the specialization is going really well for us. So who has a Windows Phone of any type? And who's seen the sort of new stuff that's come out over the last couple of days with regards to the Nokia announcements and things like that? So a few of you, that's really good. So a lot of Windows Phone users in the audience, so I won't try and sell you on the benefits of Windows Phone too much. And it's also good that some people have seen the latest announcements as well. It's a really exciting time. And this talk is going to focus on two aspects of Windows Phone. We're really trying to push forward into a description of what's happening in the future, from two perspectives. The first half will be a consumer and platform type overview. And the second half will be more of a developer platform story. So if you're doing code for Windows Phone and you're thinking, what should I be doing with Windows Phone 7, Windows Phone 8? I'll cover all that stuff in the second half. There's going to be no code. It's just going to be me talking. If you want to fire questions, that's fine, but I'll probably have a few minutes at the end if you have specific questions about this stuff, because I know it's all pretty new. And that's it. So I don't pretend to be objective about this stuff. I love Windows Phone and I love the platform. I've been using it since April 2010, so excuse any bias that emerges if I start screaming at any point. But first of all, I don't know, has anyone been watching the Twittersphere, or the Twitters, in the last couple of days around the Nokia? There's been a bit of controversy around some of the great videos and features that are coming with the new Nokia 920. Has anybody seen that? Well, essentially, there's been some controversy over the fact that Nokia's marketing team have accidentally faked some videos and stills. And we think this is a real shame, because the new Nokia 920 is a great product, and we would like to sort of set the record straight a little bit with regards to the actual capabilities of the real product. So I'd like to show you a video of a sort of rainy, obviously low-level light, bad stabilization, you know, it's wavering. It doesn't look good at all, shot with a leading smartphone. And taken with the 920, you can see that there's a great deal of light, color saturation, and so the marketing teams can go take a jump for me. I think you'll be persuaded over the authenticity of the new camera's prowess. Okay, it's all downhill from there. Some of you may know or may not know that 2 years ago, did anyone go to my talk on that when I was going on about AlphaJax and how to build a game? There's a few people. So that's a bit of a homecoming for me. I think I'm in the same room. So that was me sort of going to Las Vegas. Got excited in April 2010, wrote a clone of a popular board game, and ultimately over the last, it's been pretty much 2 years, that game has been sold to Microsoft, and it's going to be on the Xbox Live platform. We're the first Kiwi company, even though I'm Irish, I'm sort of Kiwi, I've been here 8 years, to develop an Xbox Live title for Windows Phone. So it's a really good story, I think, for local developers. You know, I wasn't sure if it was going to go anywhere, but if you work in the evenings and weekends, like I was doing, with a good idea, you can make this sort of stuff happen. And that's the main thing that I'd like to get across, you know, that there is the American dream. You know, you can make this stuff and sell it. It does work, even if you're in little New Zealand. So before I get started on the platformy stuff, I just want to do a little bit of background around where Windows Phone is at the moment. One of the really important things that I took away from my initial feel for the platform and the user interface and the design was that it's a really great feeling operating system. And this is proven, we think, I mean, this isn't everything in the world, but Amazon.com had really is one of the leading online retailers of phones, and on the highest rated cell phones with service plans a few months ago, the top three phones were Windows phones. So consumers, when they get their hands on the phone and as sales increase, they really love the experience, and a happy consumer is normally a loyal consumer. This is one of the most fickle areas in the world, smartphones. So I believe in the product Microsoft have put forward. Sales are growing, but the important thing to take away is people who buy phones love the operating system and they love the fact that it's differentiated. 7 out of the top 9 phones were Windows phones in June 2012 on Amazon.com based on ratings. And that says an awful lot about the quality of the product. And this is across is Nokia, HTC, and Samsung. The other things that's been interesting to follow has been the technical. We live in a bit of a bubble sometimes around what consumers are actually prepared to go out and do and buy in stores. But it's been really encouraging, I think, that technical reviewers from all over the world have looked at Windows Phone and they've appreciated what Microsoft have tried to do in terms of innovation. You know, often people look at Microsoft and they say, they're not an innovative company anymore. That's rubbish. You know, Windows Phone is a completely redesigned operating system. The usability of live tiles, all of these features have been developed and designed from the ground up. They realized they had to do something authentic and something that may take time for consumers to get, but that it was a really good foundation. And technical reviews over the last 2 years have, by and large, have praised Microsoft for taking this bold move. This is in contrast. You may have recently seen some of the sort of patent wars between Samsung and Apple and who copied who. I mean, it's a little bit distasteful. I think it's probably good for Windows Phone, but it's a little bit distasteful to see these sorts of things going on. And Apple, to their credit, held up a Lumia, I think, during the court case to say, look, you don't have to copy. You can do your own thing and be successful. So this is really encouraging. And also, whilst Windows Phone in its first incarnation has been all about consumers, right? Some of the features that enterprises may have expected, they were left off to get this thing out there and running. There have been some positive stories of enterprises actually taking Windows Phone in and deploying them, and some of the positive things around the familiarity of things like SharePoint and Office integration on the device. And I'll talk a little bit more about how the whole enterprise business story is going to get a great deal more interesting. And lastly, on this sort of roundup of where we are, I've been trying to look at this to find apps that I've done, and I haven't managed to find any yet. There's 100,000 Windows Phone apps. There's more than that in the store. The main thing about this is that the trajectory of Windows Phone against iOS and Android, even from a sales point of view, even from an app growth, is pretty much online from where it's been. I think every year feels like 10 years in this industry. Now, Windows Phone's been out there for less than 2 years from launch, and it's already got 100,000 apps. I think it's a great story. And as you'll see, the potential for new apps coming to the platform sooner and apps on other platforms coming to Windows Phone sooner is only going to increase as we move forward. But whilst this talk is about Windows Phone, probably one of the biggest thread running through this whole talk is going to be around, this is the biggest year in Microsoft's history. From the point of view of what they've done with Windows, from a user interface point of view, from the App Store point of view, this is the year of Windows 8. And we don't have this situation where Windows Phone 8's over here, and Windows 8's over here, and they're both sort of got the same number and it's a marketing thing. What's actually happening is Windows Phone 8 is going to contain the guts, the underlying kernel of the Windows 8 operating system. And this is a huge deal, and that one message, you'll see the effects of that as I talk about what's possible now that wasn't possible before with Windows Phone 7. So the loose term, and this is a sort of kaleidoscope to look at depending on where you're coming from, but we now have, this is interesting, the shared Windows core. What this means is that the core of Windows 8, the NT kernel and associated low-level native APIs are being taken from Windows 8 and are in Windows Phone 8. So there's a shared core of technology. Apart from the techie stuff, the user interface, the Metro user interface, or the modern UI interface, whatever Microsoft are going to call it, we still say Metro because we don't have an alternative. Valdemore, someone suggested, the user interface design language that shall not be named. From a consumer point of view, a lot of people don't have Windows phones. I know it's sad, and I can't understand it. But they will have Windows 8s because they'll go to work on their desktops and their laptops. They'll buy new laptops, and they'll get this new live tile-based fluid start screen, and that will become familiar to them. And then as they start to go to stores and they go online, there should be what this people call the halo effect. So they'll start to see phones and go, that looks like my thing, and I can send things between them, and the games work, and we can play Scrabble, Alpha Jacks together with our phones and our tablets. And so the shared Windows core also applies to the metaphors around the design and the user interface. So this whole, this is, if anybody's got an Xbox, you're seeing refreshes of the dashboard that are bringing the whole Metro fail across that as well. So unification and integration around the experience as well as the technology. And of course, Windows. I mean, I don't have to sell anybody on Windows, hopefully, but 1.3 billion people using it. This isn't some team in Redmond going off writing a new thing to get dual core onto Windows Phone 8. They're porting what is a proven, tested, trusted platform. Secure, lots of people using it. When it goes on phone, it's Windows on the phone now, for real. And when we think about the benefits of the shared Windows core at a high level, you want to think about the audiences, the people that are affected by this move. First of all, people like you and me, the people that buy phones, you're going to have greater choice. It's not going to be like, shall I get this phone or this phone, and it's a slightly different color, and maybe, oh, it might have a hardware start button instead of a capacitive one. You're now going to see far more differentiation in hardware. If you look at the Lumia, you have wireless charging. You know, you have much more differentiation on camera specs, on underlying technology. That's going to give you more choice over the types of screens you want to look at. The new shared core, as you'll see, allows more opportunities for developers to write more blindingly awesome apps. So consumers are going to get more rich apps. Porting's going to get easier, as we'll discuss. So this opens up a lot of new rich experiences for consumers once Windows Phone 8 comes online. For developers, we'll go in depth on this. Greater speed, portability between able to write code on Windows 8, start in Windows 8, take it across to Windows Phone 8, or do Windows Phone 8, take it across. It's going to be easy to port business logic and code that you've written for both because there's the same underlying technologies in place. And last but not least, our hardware partners. If you have a shared core, a shared Windows core, this is going to make it a lot easier for hardware partners to be able to develop. They have a driver. They write it once, they test it, they put it onto Windows Phone and Windows 8 devices. So all that time that they could be faffing about retesting and re-engineering drivers, they can now concentrate on getting new interesting devices out to market quicker, focus more on innovation, and it's going to cost them less to be able to support both platforms. So good news for everyone. So I'm still on the platform thing, so I'm going to talk about 8 features of the Windows Phone 8 platform at a high level before we get into the developer talk. Anyone got any questions? Is this making sense? As I said, there's no code. Please don't shut up me for not. I don't have any C sharp, but I hope this is all good new information. Anyone got any questions on what I've said so far about the shared core? Okay. The question is when is Windows 8 actually happening on the mobile? You mean when is Windows Phone 8 coming out? I can't comment on dates. Nothing's been publicly announced from Microsoft. Later this year, I think, is the only thing that you can say, but you would hazard that sooner rather than later would be a good time. Is that all right, Nigel? So number one, latest and greatest hardware. Anyone who's got a Windows phone might be perplexed to hear people in the tech reviewers going on about, it doesn't have dual core, it doesn't have, you know, Android may need dual core to get a list box to move slowly. Windows phone doesn't need that. But regardless, two cores, everybody wants two of something rather than one of something. It reminds me of the old sort of Pentium MMX, you know, 200, 233, 266. It's just a spec war over again. Having said that, dual core is important for 1080p, some of these more advanced 1080p video recording and some of these crazy advanced things that people who love their smartphones do when they're just using it as a single device. It's Windows, right? So you've got 64 cores. You're not going to get 64 cores on your mobile phone because you'd have 0.3 seconds of battery life. So Microsoft, which nobody wants that. So Microsoft have rather sensibly, to their credit, focused on dual core on mobile to keep battery life up, to keep the experience good. But you can expect to see quad cores and more as and when they're required. There's no restriction now on the chipset. We now have three screen resolutions to deal with. So all the Windows phones at the moment have got 800 by 480, pretty good. But, you know, again, Windows phones, this is probably one of the more valid criticisms and things that I'm looking forward to, is the screen's not as great as it could be up against the latest, up against the iPhone and the latest Androids. That's a limitation of the CE kernel that was underneath Windows Phone when it was launched. So now, because it's Windows, these resolutions aren't the only ones that there could be, but Microsoft have picked these because, you know, 1280 by 768 is pretty as, you know, I might live to regret this, you know, so Bill Gates said 4 megabytes of RAM should be enough for anyone, but 1280 by 768 is pretty good. You know, it looks great. From a developer's point of view, it may sound like a big deal, but if you compare the WVGA to the WXGA, it's the same aspect ratio. So, you know, I'll talk about this later, but you don't have to do as much as you might think to support these resolutions. And lastly, there was a lot of confusion when Windows Phone first came out. One of the devices, you know, the Samsung Focus, it sort of, or did it, allow the micro SD to go into the slot. That's all being, this is another kernel thing. Now it's on Windows, it's not CE. We've got full micro SD support. It's been very carefully, you know, for photos, music, and videos, for content that ordinary people would want to use an SD cards for. You've also got the capability, enterprises, businesses, interestingly, will have the capability to deploy from an SD card. So they'll be able to provision applications onto the card, set you down, and say, there you go, add those onto your phone. And I'll talk about that. That's part of the whole enterprise story. So this is a real one. So I'm not trying to fake anyone anymore. So I had to put this in. I'm not getting paid by Nokia because, as I said, they're the first ones to release a working Windows 8 phone, and this little promo I just think is cool. Okay, so no more excuses time, you know. It's 2 years in the making, and now Windows Phone is at a stage where there's no apologies to be made for any parts of the hardware, the operating system. There's no more Windows Phone, the good stuff is coming soon. There's nothing, that to me is a phone that is innovative. It's up there with the specs of any other phone on the market, and it's great to be able to say that. As a Windows Phone fan, that's sort of the type of phone that I had in my head when I started on this track. So the second thing is i10. Similarly to Windows Phone Mango, the i10 from the desktop is being brought down as is from, if you're using Windows 8 and you've got i10 with our Metro on desktop, that same engine is going to be on Windows Phone 8. So what that means is some really cool security features, a lot of phishing activity going on the web. So this is real anti-phishing filters built into i10 you will get. It will warn you when you go to strange websites that are trying to access your details. It'll have really fast JavaScript performance, and it supports twice the number of HTML5 features as its predecessor in Mango. So this is a really, really good browsing experience on mobile. So if you're, and we've got, you know, one of these graphs that says that it's faster than all the other ones. All right? Awesome. But I think the real message is it's not a second-class browser. It's not like something, if you're doing mobile development, if you're making mobile sites, you will have to consider IE10. And you won't have to moan about it because it'll have great HTML5 support and it'll probably be as fast, if not faster, than other browsers. So the third point, and this is another thread through the whole thing of the what you might, this might not be top line marketing videos that come out, but this is a really important point. The common platform for Windows Phone and Windows, the underlying kernel and the native APIs now allow native game development based on Direct3D, DirectX. This is huge. I can't code C++, so that's why there's no C++ code in the demo either. But those who do will now be more excited about the ability to code original games for Windows 8 and Windows Phone, and reuse the code, reuse the libraries. So if you're going to do a cross-platform, cross-platform is a funny word to use when you're just talking about Windows. If you're doing a cross-device or form factor app between Windows 8 and Windows Phone, and you're using DirectX, a lot of that code you'll be able to reuse really easily. And I'll come to this as a later point. This is sort of highlighted by a recent announcement, Nokia partnering with Disney to bring their whole catalog of like Where's My Water games down to Windows Phone. This sort of stuff is going to be easier than it was before. Anybody do XNA development? So all the there you go. So XNA is a great, XNA has been the managed .NET way of developing games for Windows Phone. It's the only way to do it if you're not using Silverlight. Silverlight was, AlphaJax was a Silverlight game, but if you've got more advanced graphics, 3D, and that sort of thing, you've used XNA. The problem with XNA, even though it's a great platform for Windows Phone and Xbox indie games, is that people who are coming from OpenGL, they're developing games for iOS or Android, and big publishing houses are looking at Windows Phone going, you may not have to rewrite my application to support this thing that's got 4% market share. You know, it's hard. Even if you're throwing money at it, it's a hard proposition. Whereas if you can say, hey, look, yeah, we're growing, but we want you to take your game, and it's only going to cost you X. So the easier that it's made for people to write new games and take them completely cross-platform or have them ported is only going to be a good thing to have games coming to Windows Phone far more quickly. NFC, near field communication. Some people think this is the future of the world. Other people think this is not the future of the world. It's one of these contentious things. But it seems to be one of the things that is being supported as a de facto sort of way to do tap-to-pay. It's also going to have, it stands for near field communication. If you know Bluetooth, so it's, you know, your phone and your tablet, you can tap your phone, start a game, you can transfer information between the devices using the NFC hardware. An important point about it, if you're into this sort of stuff, is that Microsoft have chosen to put the secure element on the SIM card, which appears to be the way that most mobile operators are going to want this to be done. And it's good for you, because if it was on the phone, it'd be like those sort of days where you had your whole sort of life was tied to the device. So if it's on the SIM card, the secure element of this is on the SIM card, this is going to make it much easier to pull it out and get a new device. I think, so it'll be interesting to see what happens here, but NFC is fully supported in all new Windows Phone 8s. Also, other platforms have this concept. This concept has been around for years on desktop and other environments, but the idea of a digital wallet, a secure digital wallet to represent the stuff that you have in your real wallet. So credit and debit cards, loyalty membership cards, discount coupons, 30% off things. Being able to access these deals and get to them from where you are in a location-based, you know, things near me, give me a free coffee, that sort of thing. So whether you got tapped to pay physically in store or whether you're paying for something, you can pin protect this separately. So those of you who don't like to have a pin on your phone but want to protect your wallet can pin protect the wallet. And this will, you know, it's all there. So you'll still, I don't know whether we'll still carry a physical wallet or whether, I think it should allow a little picture of your kids, you know, on the first page, just like a real wallet. Doesn't do that yet. But it seems to store all the other types of things that I have in there apart from the big bundle of receipts that never get. Anyway, and this is just showing like a list of all your credit cards, like a familiar type panorama interface in Windows Phone, and any deals that you've incorporated that you've managed to get into the phone. And it goes back. This is one of my personal favorites. Anyone got an iPhone? It was a bit slow. You're sort of scared because anyone's gonna put people in black helicopters. iPhone's awesome. You know, I love the part of this. My whole passion about technology has come from getting an iPhone. Being a .NET developer and getting an iPhone was like, hold on, I want to, you know, it really was an eye opener. But it's been a bit weird recently because things like Google Maps, they're having problems with Google and they're ripping out, you know, Google Maps technology from the phone. And I think someone told me the viaduct has disappeared, not in, you know, reality, but it's disappeared from the iPhone. So it's not a great experience. I had an iPhone, I bought a TomTom application for like $100, you know, like an add-on. It was pretty good, but it wasn't as good as like the Garmin hardware that I had. The Nokia Maps stuff is going to be built in. You're going to have full offline map support, turn-by-turn directions. Bing Maps, you know, it's, everything's moving over to Nokia's technology. Apparently 4 out of 5 in-car GPS systems are in some way using the Navtech map data. So, and there's one more thing. Developers will be able to access this sort of stuff with controls and to be able to bring this into their applications, integrating with other APIs. So the mapping story in Windows Phone, you get this for free, and in New Zealand, having a Nokia Lumia with Nokia Maps, Nokia Drive on it, I do sound like I'm getting paid commission, but I'm not really. It's just a great add-on to your phone for free. These things, if you're getting them for $400 or $500 now and you're getting $100 worth of free map stuff, it's a really compelling compelling story. So it's great to see that the Nokia Maps from the partnership Microsoft have with them really coming through onto the platform. The underlying Maps technology, so there will be a built-in mapping application, and this stuff will be across all Windows phones. Nokia will have specific applications in their suite that you will only get, at least initially, on. Yes. Yes, that's my understanding. There will be a difference between the two. Yeah. And for those, this is the enterprise story. So we got Windows on the phone, the shared Windows core. Means you've got a trusted shared core which supports encryption, secure boot, remote wipe, device management, system center support. So all the IT managers that have been getting scared, all the iPhones and all these devices coming in, they can now provision Windows phones and have them managed in the same way as a laptop or as other devices. So this is a really, really strong story now that they've got the enterprise story actually sorted. The other thing we'll touch on again is that line of business app deployment. There's always been a problem before where we've gone and seen clients and they've said things like, well, can we have our own marketplace or can we get apps onto the devices just for our employees, like sort of intranet apps? And it's like, you can sort of sideload them if you unlock the device. It's not been a particularly pretty story. So this is not going to be fully supported in Windows Phone 8. So organizations and enterprises are going to be able to support applications deployed from their own servers, the cloud, or an SD card just for their organization. And we see, from an enterprise story point of view, this is going to be really, really important. And, of course, familiar Office apps and integration, et cetera, continues to be a draw for people looking at Windows Phone. Yes. Yeah, I think so. It's not, the details on this haven't fully emerged, but I think, anything that enables someone to bring in a device that they love into the workplace and have it so that the people that are looking after those devices can easily manage them, I think is going to be a good thing. How that plays out in terms of where the stuff gets provisioned from and stuff, we'll have to wait and see. But I think we've now got the capability to have consistency in how these things are managed when they're brought in. So this is what's called a company hub. So this is going to be a special type. Think of it like a mobile intranet Uber application that you'll be able to have the apps for your organization displayed in here, which link through to the apps that you've got stored on your server. You're going to have presence integration if you're running Link or you can code these things up, but there's some things that are built in here. So this is going to allow companies to have mobile intranets built with custom applications that are running on Windows Phone 8. So we think it's going to be a great thing to have all your own little mini marketplace, if you like. And lastly, it's sort of a platform feature because it's sort of so important to the whole Windows Phone narrative is the start screen itself. So I'm just going to show a little video of the improvements that are being made for Windows Phone 8 and for existing devices. We'll talk about that. So everyone's going to get this new start screen. So let's have a little look at this.
It starts with a tile that's special, that's alive. Live tiles are the heart and soul of a Windows Phone. It's a simple, elegant thing, but so powerful, and no other phone has them. We know that our users really fall in love with their Windows phones, and the biggest reason is that live tiles make the technology disappear, turning their phone into a unique fingerprint that precisely reflects each and every one of them. Live tiles are also the face of Windows Phone. And now that very pretty face is about to become drop-dead gorgeous. And a lot more personal. Introducing the new Windows Phone Start Screen. We're putting people in total control of their tiles. Now, not only can they pin the stuff they love right on a live tile, they can also set the size of all those tiles, whether each is a person or an app. If someone's really into text and SMS, they can make the messaging tile the full size so they can see texts without opening the app. If someone's not a heavy email user, they can make that tile small and put it a little out of the way. And for all those power users with tons of apps they use every day, they can make all of those tiles really small so they reduce the amount of scrolling on the screen. No other phone can do anything like this. The result is that Windows Phone is even more personal than ever before. So now people won't just be buying a phone. It'll be Tom, the music lover, getting a Tom, the music lover phone. And Laura, the social butterfly, getting a social butterfly phone. It'll be Anna, the bookworm, getting a bookworm phone. And Dave, the sports nut, getting a sports nut phone. It's the best of what Windows Phone already is. Made even better.
Cool. I think you'll agree. Everyone like that? I'm glad I got rid of the arrow on the right. It's always annoyed me that they've said, hey, you can swipe this thing. So they now they reckon people are going to be able to get it. I wonder what they'll do with the left swipe at some point. I don't know. Start screen. Now, to finish off the platform thing in this first half, I'm going to do what is called a more general update about the ecosystem itself, you know, the whole Windows Phone platform and all versions that are out there. So initially in the first wave, you're going to see devices made by these four companies using Qualcomm processors. This is not necessarily what's going to happen forever. You know, after this first wave, this first few months or whatever in 2013, you see other operators come on board. But this is the A-team for the first set of releases. Like Windows, like core Windows, you're now saying Windows Phone is taking on the truly global capability with regards to languages. New languages such as Arabic, great RTL support in the Silverlight-based apps, and now the marketplace is being extended to over 180 countries. How many countries are in the world, actually? Does anybody know? It changes every day. 216, there you go. So there's 36 countries who are unable to have a Windows Phone marketplace. How's that for positive spin? 180, it's really good. Look, the whole world. So updating your Windows phones, you get a new Windows Phone 8. You know, the old story, with this, you know, plug it in, I get the Zune player up to get updates. Everything's going to come over the air, right? So this is going to enable people like my wife to keep her phone updated because she never plugs it in. So all she has to do is click a button. So yes, I want that, you're on Wi-Fi. So this is great. Devices are supported with updates for at least 18 months, not 3 months, 4 months. Sorry, Nokia. That's it. So this is a promise now. You buy a new device when you get Windows Phone 8, it will have at least 18 months of update support. And this is really important if you're a developer. It's okay if you've got access to this stuff because you're deemed special enough to see the code, but I think this idea of making it work more like iPhone, where you have an established beta program for people who are passionate about making the apps on Windows Phone, they should get access to these updates before broad consumer push and allow them to build apps for Windows Phone 8. And I'll be the first to acknowledge on this push, that level of access hasn't been quite as open as I hope it to be in the future. Don't know. I think, this is my personal opinion. I mean, initially Microsoft tried very, very hard and they promised, they worked really, really hard to support all phones. They made a promise to have all phones in market upgraded to Mango. A specific example would be, I have a Samsung Focus, some particular variant of it, where Samsung had swapped out the memory component because they ran out of something and the firmware was forked. right? And there was 10,000 of these devices. And I don't know how much money Microsoft would have spent, but they did it. It took them 3 months. They got a hell of a lot of stick for it, but they got that Focus variant updated to Windows Phone Mango. So it's incredibly difficult. Sorry, there's the operator story, and then there's the hardware thing. So promising the support from a device point of view, and I think they've realized that they're going to have to work harder to get carrier support for getting these updates out. But I think what we're seeing with Nokia and the muscle of Nokia and Microsoft together, that this is becoming a better story. I'm definitely seeing updates coming through for the Lumias in a much more patterned and regular way, for example. But it's a very difficult question to answer. There's a chain of people involved, and it's only so much muscle that you can have in one area. So overall, the story is here that this is a huge upgrade. The shared Windows core, new multi-core support, new graphics capabilities, NFC, a whole new modern architecture, more screen resolutions, removable encryptable storage. This is it's parity and more. This is parity and more. Windows Phone 8, there's no more excuses. It's up there. All the from a tech spec point of view, from an experience point of view, from a differentiation point of view, we're there. So what about all the phones that people have got at the moment? The Lumias of this world, Focuses, Trophies, etc. Well, what's going to happen is an update is going to be released called Windows Phone 7.8 in classic Microsoft versioning numbers. Let's call it 7.8. This is basically the new start screen and some other stuff that hasn't been announced yet, but the marquee feature is a new start screen, so everybody's Windows phones will look the same way. So you're going to be able to customize the tiles, make them really small, middle, big, and you'll get that feature for free as part of an update. And Microsoft, that's what I said. So what this sort of means, OEMs continued, it means people like Nokia, there's still going to be these places where they're going to provide applications specific for your device in some cases, and that's going to continue. There are millions and millions of Windows phones out there already, and Nokia and Samsung, et cetera, are going to provide differentiated experiences for those devices. So this isn't, nothing's stopping for Windows Phone 5. All of these applications still run on Mango. You're still going to get new apps for Mango. People who are making new Windows Phone apps, we would recommend, if they're serious, you don't want to forget about the millions that are out there and rely on a new yet unestablished market. So it's important to be able to deliver to both. Technically, this is particularly difficult because of the quite close relationship between the development story on both. So you're not really losing. And I think it's interesting. There's nothing really completely official, but you look at the trends of WP Central, WM Power User, for example, follow the level of Facebook app activity for Windows Phone users who have installed or used Facebook on their phones. And they're saying not a massive drop-off. Since all of this Windows Phone 8 was announced and this negativity about you're not going to be able to upgrade your phone to Windows Phone 8, there hasn't been a huge drop-off in ordinary consumers in terms of sales, right? For tech people like us, it's like, can't upgrade. Most people aren't thinking about that. They're still buying the phones, and they're still going to get a great experience for the next few months. Having said that, if you're going to buy a new phone, I'd wait for Windows Phone 8. Me, personally. But if you're a techie, still a great phone. Oh, break, segue, intermission. I'm thinking about the question. I'll make it easy. So this is a Marker Metro T-shirt. It's an L. So these sizes, right? My wife said, and it's a big L. And it turned out I got the L, so I think it was an XL. So it was really, really tight. And I said, he was about that high in the store. Big L, looking up at her. You didn't think that would have a bearing. Anyway, this is an L, so it should be. I think it's a big L. In Ireland, anyway, where I'm from, this would be a big L. So what is the code name of Windows Phone 8? No. You have to take your T-shirt off because you got it wrong. Who said Apollo first? There you go. No worries. I've still got yours, Owen. Don't worry. I've got one left over. I changed the question. That's why I asked you for your birthday. So part two is the developer story. This is the bit that you get to understand some of the things at a bit of a lower level about what's going on from a development side of things. So I'm going to cover a technical overview of the shared Windows core and what that means from a more technical standpoint. We're going to look at some of the features in the developer platform itself, have an early look at that, and we may look at the new platform support for business and enterprise. So all of this starts with the kernel, right? The NT kernel from Windows 8, increased scalability, increased robustness. It opens up all the possibilities on Windows Phone 8 around what is possible. Drivers. This is a huge story for people who are making devices, who are making both tablets and phones. You write a driver once, you don't want to have to write it again. A tested driver will be able to be used in many situations without any change on both a Windows Phone 8 and a Windows 8 device. There's a huge established driver ecosystem for Windows, so this is going to really help for adoption, time to market. Hardware partners are going to benefit from this. And it means you'll get better devices faster, to put it in a nutshell. This wasn't possible before because of the different kernels. Well, this goodness comes through to security, hardware-based security, encryption, all of those things I talked about around device management, et cetera. But there's this mantra that Microsoft have from a user experience point of view, and that is that you'll never regret installing an app. And what this means is that if you pull an app from the marketplace and you play with it and you uninstall it, at no point should it have any adverse impact on the other apps that you've got on your phone, the overall system. But they can't promise that you'll lose money because you don't like the game. Right, so that you can't get refunds for. They can't promise that you're going to buy a crap game. But apart from that, your phone will remain safe. Networking story, you're going to get obviously latest IP version 6, NFC tap to share, improved Bluetooth. So the Bluetooth stack from Windows 8 will be coming over, which means that that'll be even better Bluetooth support on Windows Phone 8 because of that. So a lot of this, I guess, the discussions in Microsoft have been like, we've got this Windows 8 thing, we have to bring the kernel in, and then there's all these other native things that have been brought across too, and they've focused on the core things that are going to help adoption of the platform, and you'll see more and more of this stuff come across with future releases. Graphics and media, so it's all built on Direct3D. The Windows WDDM, the Windows Media Foundation from Windows is all coming across. This is going to give the highest fidelity audio and video experience on any piece of modern hardware of this size. So it's all the goodness of Windows from a multimedia point of view being brought across. And Orbit is the developer platform. What does this mean? Well, it means we can share more code, right? We'll talk more about the specifics of what code and stuff in a minute. But we can share code between Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 more easily. We can do native code, hooray. Or we can use other people who know how to write native code and bring their stuff in. So C++ libraries are supported, that sort of thing. You've got the same .NET engine. So the applications that you write for Windows Phone 8 are based on .NET 4.5, which is the same as you'll get on the desktop in Windows 8. Okay? And this feature, compile in the cloud, this is really cool. So what Microsoft are going to do is they're going to take your application, your Windows Phone 8 application, when you submit it into the store, and unlike other marketplaces that make this more difficult, they're going to compile it in the cloud. So they're going to take it and run it down into machine code and then deploy it out to the devices. So it's just going to run as quickly as possible when you write a new app. And you're not going to, all the Windows Phone 7.5 apps that are in the marketplace, all 100,000 or whatever there is, they're going to recompile those too. And set, they're going to get done too. So everything that's running on Windows Phone 8 is going to be as fast as possible. So this compile in the cloud strategy is going to lead to far more performant applications on device. Okay, so on the developer platform itself, these are the things that I'm going to break out and talk specifically about with regards to developers. I'll just check time. Okay. So native code. C++ is really cool again. Used to be .NET Developer 5, C++, you have to manage memory and stuff. I don't have to do that because I've got a server that's got 90 gazillion gigabytes of RAM. So we're going back from the server and now we're on tiny devices and performance is a problem again. And we need to get native. We need to get closer to the hardware. So Windows Phone 8 is going to open up support for C++. Libraries which can talk directly to WinRT APIs that are being ported from Windows 8, the Windows 8 runtime. And we're able to reuse libraries that are performant along inside your Windows Phone applications. This means more amazing games, hardware acceleration through Direct3D, high performance code of whatever type, even if you're not doing a game. If you're doing an application where you've got this math stuff that's really crunchy, get it into a library, get it out of managed code, get it into C++. And it also enables gaming middleware. So game engines, physics, animation libraries, audio effects that game developers use can be repurposed and reused in Windows Phone 8. This is great stuff. This is what game developers have been crying out for on Windows Phone to make it viable for them to take it seriously as a platform. And these middleware partners were announced a couple of months ago, but there's also a new one from last week, I think, which is Unity, which is a very, very popular cross-platform game engine. If you're writing a new game, I'm not a game developer, so you can correct me here if I'm wrong, but you can write a game, and it can be made with relatively little effort, completely cross-platform, and they've announced support for Windows Phone 8 in their platform, which means that if you're developing a game, you may focus on iOS and Android at the moment because of numbers, but it'll be easier to churn out a Windows Phone 8 version of your game, which means new titles that are developed using these game engines are more likely to instantly or very quickly come online on the Windows Phone marketplace, and you're not going to have to wait for them to be ported in some more convoluted way. And little video of one of the game engines called Havoc, who are not paying me either. This is just pretty cool. Because this is running on a Windows Phone 8 device, unless they've got Nokia's marketing team. I'm pretty sure it's real. There's a video. Is it working? That's interesting. Engaging 3D gameplay, as you can, I hope you'll be persuaded. It really was running on a developer on this phone 8. Oh, hold on, let me just have a peek around. May not be able to look at this, and I can't do three-dimensional animation characters with hand waving, so. How can a demo fail with a video and a PowerPoint slide? That's just unbelievable. I didn't sacrifice anything to demo gods because there was no demo. Let's try that again. Oh! I did a little sacrifice. I'm sorry I tweeted that. Cool. I'll cut that off there. They had a bit of a longer one, but you know, really, really pretty cool stuff running already on Windows Phone 8. I'm going to reiterate this point, ease of porting. Native code means it's easier to share code, so games are going to come on the platform easier. You can develop them for Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 at the same time. It simplifies the porting of apps between iOS and Android, which is something that we're seeing great demand for. You're going to be able to take advantage of existing native open source libraries. Okay? So all of this is great stuff. People who are frustrated with the high-end games going to iPhone and taking a while to come, that's going to change. These things are going to come faster, and there's no reason not to get a Windows phone because of this anymore. So what do we actually mean technically when we talk about shared native APIs? Well, this spells it out with a little boxology diagram about what Microsoft have focused on in bringing over core native APIs from Windows 8. So graphics, audio, file system, media, input, all of these things are exactly the same on Windows 8 as Windows Phone 8, which means if you write a C++, if you write a shared C++ component, you can reuse it as is between Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 if you're talking to these APIs, okay? So some of this will be about architecting how your applications can be portable between the two platforms, but it will be possible if you layer it in such a way to get reusable business logic between the two. So I like this one as well. So this is the improvements in multitasking. So VoIP, if anyone's got the Skype client, it's okay. They're sort of hampered by Windows the capability to do certain VoIP-y things on VoIP, that's a good word, on the phone. But in Windows Phone 8, not just Skype, everyone's saying, oh, well, how will it integrate into the phone? How will it work if someone rings me up? VoIP applications, it's available to all developers, will be able to respond in the same way as the inbuilt phone dialer. So this is an example of how Skype will look. When you receive a call, you don't have to open up the app and say, and call someone and go, you can ring me now, I'm online. You won't have to do that, so it'll just be like more natural and more as you would expect. So there's, you know, an in-app screen which some, you know, Tango or any of these applications can customize. And if you go and need to get a copy and paste some information or go off and do something else while the call's still running, the familiar, you know, backgrounding of the in call, the toast message that appears will be there. So you can write an app that takes advantage of the dialer and the toast thing in the background, and you won't have to write any of that stuff. You have to write your core application. So this is how Skype will work, and it's how Tango will work, and it's how these other VoIP apps will work. And the ability to do this and the APIs around VoIP are going to be available to all developers. So it's a very, very, very cool story. You may, some people thought they might just give this to, you know, do it for Skype because Microsoft bought Skype, but no, fully open APIs. Oops. So multitasking around background. So, you know, there's lots of applications make use of location. Some of the new things that are happening on Windows Phone 8 around this is that apps are going to be able to continue to get the information about the device's location whilst running in the background continually, which opens up a whole new set of scenarios for applications. They can run in the background. So, for example, you might have a live tile that's being constantly updated with where you are in relation to where the cheapest and hottest cup of coffee is nearby. Or if you're in Nokia Drive, I don't know if they're doing this, but you know, you could have the constantly positioned thing of where you are, because sometimes you have to come out of the app to do something else. So these apps can run in the back, they can background with relation to the receiving of location data in the background. I'd love to be able to do a demo around speech, because they always work so well. But as I don't have access to hardware and stuff, I can only tell you that you can have conversations with apps and that speech APIs will be available to all developers. In other words, you can write an app that responds to speech from the Tell Me technology and use that. But I do have a video that combines the background location-y type stuff with the speech APIs. So we'll take a look at that.
Checking traffic first on this cool app.
Oh, right on.
There's been a serious accident on I-80 West. Would you like to use your alternate Market Street route?
Sure.
Your new INRIX arrival time is 6:02 p.m. Would you like to text Miles and let him know?
Yes.
Okay, text sent. Enjoy your drive.
Cool. Whoa. Coming soon. Developers can make more money in more flexible ways than they could before. And this is great. We now have in-app purchases. So as well as the whole trial, Windows Phone offers the ability to write an application and allow users to try it out and upgrade it to the real version, which isn't on other platforms. You'll now have ability to have in-app purchases. So consumers are going to have, you know, ways to buy durable and consumable purchases from the store. You provision these at the back end, and then they can buy add-ons for the games, you know, virtual Smurf things and stuff like that, or levels for games. So more ways to make money means everybody wins. Consumers get better content and support from the apps. You can keep them updated, etc. We all know how they work. So with change always comes at the same time when you're changing stuff or you're creating something new, you're also going to try and think about how you leverage all of the work and all of the investment that developers in particular have made into the platform so that they can cope easily with the change that's happening. So the story around this is that your Windows Phone 7 apps will run on Windows Phone 8 without any modifications by you. Okay, they'll just continue to run. With a couple of caveats. Obviously, it's higher resolution screens. So if you don't, Microsoft will do their very best to scale those applications up to the new resolutions. But if you really want to take advantage of it, you would do some. You would compile on Windows Phone 8, add in your higher resolution assets, and just check that it looks okay. You know, it should just scale nicely. There might be a little bit of work you have to do to take advantage of the extra screen size, but they'll be available to all Windows Phone 8 users if you don't do anything. The performance aspect I mentioned about all your submitted applications and existing applications being compiled into the cloud and so that they run as fast as possible on device. This means that there isn't a thing of, please go and recompile your Windows 7.5 application developers and resubmit it through the hub. That would have been awful if we had to do that as a necessity. And as usual, we've got one tool to rule them all. With Visual Studio 2012, you can build Windows 8, Windows Phone 7, and Windows Phone 8 apps in the same environment, all nice and easy. And you'll be able to upgrade your application from Windows Phone 7 to Windows Phone 8. So the religion begins. Which choice do we have to develop? And I'm entirely objective on this point. I'll have you know. You have a developer choice. You have, it says three here, but the third one's sort of like, Nokia marketing. I've got to stop saying that. You can make your apps with XAML and C# or VB. All right? So it's same as before, the Silverlight technologies, which are XAML technologies now in general. So you can write a normal Silverlight app or XAML app. Then you can write a native C++ app that's got nothing, no XAML in it or C# in it at all. Or you can do both. You can write a XAML app that surfaces direct 3D stuff that's being done in C++. Or you can write a direct 3D app and surface up XAML for menus and things that are more complicated to do or more cumbersome to do with direct 3D. So you can mix and match. And this was a story before when you had XNA and Silverlight mixed, but the performance of that wasn't great before, even though the idea of doing it was awesome. Now, Microsoft, with these XAML plus C++ or C++ plus XAML options, are giving the ability to decide what's the primary UI. XAML's going to be easier to develop in. It's going to have a little bit of a performance hit. C++ is going to be harder to develop in, but it's going to be as fast as possible. So you can choose the right medium. So there isn't an either-or here. And, of course, with IE10, you've got, if you're doing PhoneGap or you're doing a mobile site or you're wanting to provide a mobile experience that's cross-platform and you don't want to consider the native user experience aspects for whatever reason, cost, the HTML5 browser control within a XAML application, you could put that full screen and run a website through IE10. There is no native, unlike Windows 8, which has a first-class language support for HTML JavaScript to write native apps on Windows 8, that's not there yet. There is no WinJS. There is no native capability to write HTML and JavaScript yet. I'm pretty sure you would have thought this will come. So the guidance from Microsoft is that if you're targeting both Windows Phone and Windows Phone 8, so clients will come to us and say, we want both. We would recommend that the apps be built in XAML C# at this time because you'll be able to get reuse over the code across both platforms. Okay? If an application, some clients may just want Windows 8, and that's the focus. They're not touching Windows Phone for another year or two. As long as they're aware, they might say, look, we'll come back to it when it's got HTML JavaScript support. So we want you to do the Windows 8 app with HTML CSS because we've got a bunch of developers who know web stuff better than XAML. That's going to be a scenario that happens as well. But it's really, if you're focused on both and the timelines are that they're both of these platforms are going to get delivered, XAML makes sense. If you're working with mobile websites, the one thing that you've got to do is you've got to take IE10 seriously, both on the desktop and the viewport sizes that you'll get on the mobile. So if you're building websites, you should really be building them to be responsive these days. You know, we're moving away from this idea of having m. mobile sites and a desktop one over here. That's going to look really weird in a few years. One website should just work regardless of what device you come with. And because of IE10's really good support for HTML5, et cetera, and JavaScript, this shouldn't be a problem. So, summary on the developer side, we're going to get better hardware and it's going to be faster. We're going to get more new and ported amazing games. There's a lot of new multitasking features around VoIP and what was the other one? another one I can't remember, that are coming in the app, and you can talk with your app. So there's new speech APIs coming. So some of these things are like you see speech APIs, you see background location. It's how they'll be put together. Developers will come up with interesting ideas, and suddenly business will be like, that's why we didn't go on Windows Phone, because they didn't have XYZ, and now it's there, so you're going to see new, richer apps. And there's more ways for devs to make money, so, right? So you've got in-app purchases, so you can now start to think about clients who wouldn't touch it before because it didn't have the capability to do in-app purchases will now be available. So content that's paid for, et cetera. So these are the important takeaways from the developer platform side. You don't need to rewrite it. The design language for Windows Phone from a... If you've got an existing app, what our guidance... I mean, I would say what's going to happen is if you upgrade your application, right, it's a Windows Phone 8. That compiled version that you've now got in source control will run on a Windows 8 device only. So what you probably want to do if you've got a source control system is to create a maintenance branch for Windows 7.5 and have a Windows Phone 8 version. And then maintain them because you can deploy them separately. And this would only be if you've got some fun, you know, if you've got some, you want to do speech APIs in your app all of a sudden, but you still want to support bug fixes in your Mango app. This is how you would do it. But you don't need to. Like, so all our clients that have got Mango apps are like, what do we do? So, well, you don't need to do anything if you want to leave it. But if you upgrade it to Windows Phone 8, you can have a big live tile now. You know, so there's certain things that you're going to be able to do that it's up to you whether you want to take advantage of them. But it won't just break and, like, not be there for people with new phones. Does that answer? Because the apps are built on different platforms, not necessarily. So a lot of people will choose not to do it, and those apps will continue to run. And other ones, if you're submitting a Windows Phone 8 application, it will only run on a Windows Phone 8 device if it's taken. So yeah, if you're going to upgrade your app to take advantage of a speech API or whatever, it's going to be deployed separately, and it'll be downloaded to a Windows Phone 8 device only. Yes, I don't know. That seems logical to me that if two apps are in marketplace, you will get the Windows Phone 8 version. I can't confirm that. Thank you. Marco Metro, we have a blog that you can go and see that we write to about all the little tricky things that we get up to with Windows 8 and Windows Phone. There's also an Auckland Metro meetup, which is in the process of under a name revision. We're thinking about calling it the Windows App Meetup, but Microsoft's lawyers haven't pushed too hard on that so far. But that's a monthly thing. We have free beer and pizza, and all we just talk about Windows apps, Windows Phone, Windows 8, design, development, and how to do it. So a little bit of an app get-together there. A couple of sessions. Silverlight Data Binding coming up across the way. And then after lunch, you've got Live Tiles. I'm going to that one. Live Tiles, the good, the great, and the ugly. You can get me on Twitter at kpatton. Or you can email me. Or you can talk to me now. Because I can take questions, I think. No, I can't. Oh, I've got 1 minute. If you want to have any questions, you can come up and see me. Anything burning? Thanks very much for your time.